Thank you, Mike. Thank you, choir. Appreciate you guys being willing to just go on the fly there after Shelley talked about hearing Silent Night and putting that arrangement together. So God's good, isn't he? Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? All right. Good deal. Have your Bibles with you this morning. I invite you to follow along with me in the book of Luke. Luke in the 8th or 2nd chapter. Luke chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 8 this morning. We continue in our Christmas series, The Meaning of Christmas. We mentioned the fact that the Grinch came to the end of the day and thought of something maybe he hadn't thought before. Thought maybe Christmas didn't come from a store. He thought maybe Christmas meant something more. Amen? And it's been our heart's desire that this Christmas would mean more to you than ever before as we consider the real meaning of Christmas. We've talked about the fact that Christmas, it's the revelation of Christ. It's the revelation of the Christ child. Last week we learned from Matthew chapter 1 that Christmas is about the salvation of Christ. And this morning, Dr. Luke reveals to us that the meaning of Christmas is really the celebration of the birth of Christ. That's why we come to this time. It's to celebrate the birth of Christ. I love holidays. I love celebrations. We always made a big deal out of our children's birthdays. When our kids were growing up, their birthday was always a special day. We would let them pick where we were going to go and eat that day for their special meal. We'd say, hey, it's your birthday. Where do you want to go eat? And they'd be like, McDonald's. And I'm like, it's your birthday. Let's go somewhere nice, you know. And so we'd kind of coax them away from Burger King. And so as they got older, we're like, hey, it's your birthday. Where do you want to go eat? And they're like, let's go to Emeralds. And I'm like, let's go to McDonald's. And, you know, so anyway, they got a little more expensive as they got older. But that's the reason that we come to Christmas. It's to celebrate the birth of Christ. And the cool thing about Christmas is that Christmas is not just celebrated as a day. You know, it seems Thanksgiving is just kind of a day. And sometimes we've even relegated Thanksgiving to a half a day. And then we get right into Christmas, right? Christmas doesn't have just a day. Christmas doesn't have just a week. Christmas has a whole month. We call it the Christmas season, right? It has its own season even, and we celebrate that. There's TV specials, there's greeting cards, there's songs. We travel endlessly to celebrate Christmas. Our whole world order is scheduled around this holiday, around this holy day, the birth of Christ. Some of you talked about that a little bit this morning in your small group Bible study time. And so it's actually the absolute most celebrated time of the year. Do you know that even atheists celebrate Christmas? Atheists have this mindset that, you know what, celebrating and giving gifts to people and sharing love with people is not a bad thing. They just don't believe the reason for Christmas. But they still celebrate Christmas. They love to get together and have a party and eat and drink and be merry and all those kind of things. So they still celebrate the Christmas season. They just don't celebrate the Christmas reason. And this morning, we come to celebrate not only the Christmas season, but the Christmas reason. That is the birth of Christ and to celebrate. So this morning, Dr. Luke reveals to us that it is this king in the manger. He says in verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings,'" notice this, "'of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So this morning, the question is not just that we celebrate Christmas, but that we celebrate the birth of the King. I love Max Lucado's insight into this celebration. And in his story, The Cosmic Christmas, he picks up with this announcement of the angels. He says, "What manner of love is this?" Michael whispered. And again, we were covered with silence, a blanket of awe. Finally, Michael again opened his mouth, this time to sing. He began quietly, pausing between the words, "Glory, glory, glory to God in the highest." And one by one we joined, "Glory, glory, glory to God in the highest." And gradually the chorus grew louder and faster. "Glory, glory to God in the highest. Glory, glory to God in the highest. Glory, glory to God in the highest." Our praise rose into the realms of the universe. In the most distant galaxy, the dust as on the oldest star danced with our praise. In the depths of the ocean, the water rippled with adoration. The tiniest microbe turned. The mightiest constellation spun. All of nature joined with us as we worship Emmanuel, the God who had become flesh. This morning, you and I have the unique and incredible privilege to join all of God's creation in celebrating. Amen? Man, I grew up as a little child going to church and singing in the little children's choir and all those kind of things. And when I was in the fifth grade, we did a Christmas program. And I was one of the three wise men. Me and two of my friends. And we sang, Mike, the song of the three wise men, "We Three Kings." And there's five verses to that song. And so we sang the first verse together, and then each one of us had a verse to sing as a solo. And then we sung the last verse together. And you know, as a kid, it doesn't matter how bad you are. Your mother thinks you can sing, right? I got home, and my mother said, "Son, don't ever volunteer to sing again." That was horrible. And so ever since, I've been marked. I know I can't sing because my mother even told me I can't sing. I've never been asked to join the choir. I've never been asked to sing another solo in my life, okay? But I'm telling you this morning, I've been invited to sing with the heavenly host and to celebrate the birth of Christ Jesus. Amen? And so as we think about this celebration, just briefly here this morning, notice, first of all, that the angel sang about a Savior in the hay. It says here in verse 12, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." It was in that manger that Jesus lay, there in that hay, and the angels came rejoicing. In verse 16 of this text, it says, "And then they came," talking about the shepherds, "with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." And so the shepherds came and they joined the angels in worshiping and celebrating the birth of Christ there in the hay. Why is that significant? I think it's very significant. You see, I think this morning we've lost the humility of what happened in that place. Because we are self-centered, because we are so prideful, it's hard for us to imagine the humbleness and the humility of Christ. That our Christ would come and be born in a stinking, nasty old stable and laid in hay. That's beyond our really beyond our imagination. We don't like to picture Christ in that setting. In fact, every nativity scene that you see is overlaid in gold or it's porcelain. It's, you know, it costs more than the original stable, and you know, and all those kind of things. You know, I remember when I went to my first church. The church sat up on a hill. The house of the parsonage sat on a hill next to it. Kind of went out to a point toward the road, and I thought, man, that would be a great place to set up this nativity scene. And so I went down the street, got some lumber from a guy that had his own little sawmill there, and got some scraps, and I was going to come back and build this nativity scene. We had all the little plastic figurines to put out there, you know, and everything. And so went and got all the supplies. We got in the backyard, and Josh was trying to help me put it together. And Rhonda said, why don't you go out there on the side of that hill and build it where you're going to have it so you don't have to haul it around there? And I said, well, across the street over there at that store, there's some men sitting down there, and they watch everything that happens on this hill. And I am not about to go out there and build this in front of them and let them laugh at my carpentry skills. And so we got it put together, and we put it out there and got it all set up. And the next morning, Sunday morning, when people started to come to church, that old nativity scene was leaning. And the figurines had rolled down the hill. And so they were all laughing and making fun of me. And I told those guys, I said, I'm going to tell you something. Scripturally speaking, my nativity scene is probably closer to the real thing than all these gold and expensive porcelain figurines that you see, okay? That's the humbleness of Christ, to come and be born in the hay. Here's an interesting verse and thought. In Job chapter 38, remember Job had kind of, after all of his friends had tried to talk to him, and Job was there, and Job had had a lot of questions for God, and then God shows up on the scene. Remember that? And God tells Job, Job, stand up. I'm going to ask you some questions. And in Job 38 and verse 6, it says this, to what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. God questions Job and says, Job, were you there when all of creation sung my praises from the foundation of the earth? Here's what's incredible about this. All of creation sung when God created. And now, all of God's creation sings at a new creation. Amen? A new creation, a babe lying in a manger. God's glory had dwelt in the tabernacle, then God's with Moses, and then God's glory had lived in the temple there with Solomon. And now it had departed because of the sins of Israel. But now, once again, by God's grace and God's mercy, God's glory dwelt in a stable, in the hay. And they were all amazed. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And listen, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That lowly little manger had become the Holy of Holies. Remember the Holy of Holies in the temple? Where God had given instructions to Moses and the priest, and He said, you know, they could only go in once a year, and the priest had to make sacrifice for their own sins, and then they could go into the Holy of Holies, and they could put blood on the altar there on behalf of all the people, and they would tie a rope around their waist in case something happened and they died, they could pull them out without somebody else having to go in to the Holy of Holies. That Holy of Holies is now in Bethlehem, in a stable out back. And the mercy seat of God is laying in hay. And the angels celebrate. In 2 Corinthians 8, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. Christ did all of this for you and I. The reason that Christ left the splendors of glory and came and laid himself in that little manger was so that you could receive the gift of life. He came in the lowliness of life to reach us at our lowest point of our life. And the best response that we can give this morning is to worship him, to give him praise. Amen? Amen? Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Listen, the greatest mystery, the great mystery of godliness had been manifested there in that manger. Listen to what Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory." Someone said it like this: 'Twas much that man was made like God before, but more that God should be made like man. It was incredible that God would create man in his own image, but even more incredible that God would come in the image of man to die on a cross for our sins. Amen? That's the celebration of Christmas. And so these angels, they sing about a Savior in the hay. And then the angels sing about a Savior in heaven. Notice what he says there in verse 13. "And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God," where? "In the highest. And on earth." He wasn't just limited to that little manger. God was in heaven. He was in the manger. And so the angels are rejoicing and they're celebrating the birth of this Christ in the hay. And the angels sing about a Savior in heaven. In Psalms 148 verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens." I believe, according to Scripture, we ought to be praising God. Hello? I mean, I believe the Scriptures teach us that our life should be a life of praise. God created all of creation to worship Him. God created you to be a worshiper, to be someone to give praises to Him. And so in this burst of praise, all the angels and every creature in the universe joined together to worship the Redeemer. When you think about who Christ is, when He was on earth, people did not ascribe things to Him. Many of these things He deliberately laid aside in His humiliation. Listen, He was born in weakness and He died in weakness, but yet He is the recipient of all power. He became the poorest of the poor, it says in 2 Corinthians 8, and yet He owns all the riches of heaven. Men laughed at Him and called Him a fool, and yet He's the very wisdom of God. And He is deserving of our praise. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11, John is given this incredible vision into the heavens. It says, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around ten thousand times ten thousand, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Our God is worthy to be praised. And all of heaven is rejoicing at the birth of Christ. And we should be joining that heavenly host and lifting up God and praising Him. But not only do we see the angels sing of a Savior in the hay, not only do we see the angels sing about a Savior in heaven, but Luke tells us a little later, as Jesus is speaking, he records the words of Christ in Luke chapter 15 in verse 10. He talks about the lost sheep and the lost coin, and then he tells about the prodigal son. And he says there in Luke 15 and verse 10, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That is this morning, the angels sing about a Savior in the heart. You know what brings heaven the greatest joy? Oh, it was a glorious day when they looked and beheld God as a baby in the manger. Oh, it was an incredible day to rejoice when they thought about God in the highest. That's all worth praising God for, absolutely. But what brings heaven, what brings God the greatest joy is when Christ is born in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. That's where God gets excited. That's where God wants to dwell. It's in the hearts of men. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Here's what's incredible. The angels are rejoicing, and at the same time, they're jealous. Here's what Scripture says. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was born in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desired to look into. The angels said, man, we wish we could experience what you've experienced, but they're rejoicing for us. Amen? So all of heaven is excited and rejoices when a Savior is born in the hearts of men. Listen, it had excited the deepest interest among the most holy men on earth, and even among the inhabitants of the skies. They were enjoying the full revelation of what even the angels had desired more fully to understand and to comprehend, which they had employed their great powers to investigate. And now when that Christ is born in the hearts of men, God says that all of heaven rejoices. Just as Christ was humble enough to be born in a stinking stable. And let me just say this. All stables stink. Even stables that have been cleaned up still stink. And so no matter how clean you think your heart is, it still stinks. And yet Christ chooses that stinking stable to come and reveal himself. And this morning, that Christ wants to come and dwell in your hearts as well. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? God's desire this morning is to come and to dwell. That means to take up residence, to live in you, to live with you, so that you can know him intimately and personally. Joseph Bailey says this. He says, praise God for Christmas. Praise him for the incarnation, for the world, for the Word made flesh. I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on frosty nights or angel choristers. I will not sing of a stable bare in Bethlehem or lowing oxen, wise men trailing star with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Tonight, I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to his Son as he stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And I will sing praise to the infinite, eternal Son who became most finite, a baby who would one day be executed for my crime. Praise him in the stable. Praise him in the heavens. Praise him in my heart. This morning, can you celebrate the birth of Christ? I think we can all celebrate the birth of Christ in the hay. And I think we, along with all of creation, can celebrate a God in heaven. But the question is this morning, Can you celebrate the birth of Christ in your own heart? Have you come to that point and place where you've given up all that you understand about yourself to all that you understand about Christ Jesus and truly received the greatest gift that man could ever receive, the gift of salvation through Christ Jesus? Would you bow with me this morning? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Just you and God in a moment together this morning. Can you rejoice this morning that Christ has been born in your heart today? And this morning, you say, "Preacher, I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year." But you know what? You're right, Pastor. I've never truly received Christ into my own heart. I've seen the nativity scenes. I've watched Christmas programs. I've heard the story, but I've never experienced it personally for me. This morning, God desires that Christmas would become real in your own heart today. Would you allow Him to come in this morning? Would you just open up this morning and say, "Christ, this morning, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Christ, I surrender my life to You this morning. God, this morning, I love You. And God, I desire to be in a lifelong, intimate, personal relationship with You." Would that be your heart's desire today? In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And if that's your prayer this morning, we want to celebrate that with you today. We want to celebrate Christmas with you today. Not just that Jesus in the hay or that God in heaven. We want to celebrate that Jesus in your heart this morning. And so in just a moment, when we stand to sing, I'm going to ask you just to step out. Make your way forward. Say, "Pastor, today I've experienced Christmas for the first time personally. Father God, today we love You. And Father, we thank You for the time that we've had together in this place. And God, we thank You this morning for the reading of Your Word. And God, for the insight that You've given us. And God, this morning I'm praying for hearts. God, hearts all across this room. God, hearts that are watching on live stream, for those that are listening on the radio. God, I'm praying this morning, God, that hearts would receive Christ this morning. And God, that Christmas would take on an incredibly new celebration this year. And so, Father, today we rejoice. God, I thank You this morning that You would love me so much. God, that You would come. That You would come in the form of a little baby. God, that You would suffer and die on a cross. But God, that You would raise victorious. God, that I might have forgiveness of sin. God, that I might have eternal life. And God, that I might have abundant life in the here and the now. And so God, today I rejoice and I give You praise. And Father, this morning I pray that all of our hearts can praise You today. Father, we love You. We offer this praise up to You in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning as we stand and as we sing, you come right now. Mike leads us. Would you come this morning? Would you give your heart to Christ? Would you celebrate His birth this morning?
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
One last verse this morning. Would you come this morning? Those that are watching, those that are listening, Would you just give your all to Christ this morning? We'd love to be able to celebrate with you today.
Holy thine, let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. Oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen and amen. You be seated this morning for just a second. I want to just again say thank you for being here today. Thank you for those that have been watching and listening online. I pray that God will bless you richly. Hey, next Sunday morning, that is the 19th, we'll be having a special service. And then that night, we'll be really have a special service, candlelight kind of thing, kind of a family Christmas time. We'll have finger foods afterwards. We'll be observing the Lord's Supper in that evening time. And then that service, Sunday night on the 19th, we'll actually be recording that. And that will be available for you to play back next weekend. That is the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th. And so through that weekend, you'll have that service to play back with your family. You'll have the Lord's Supper there. So if you want to do that again as a family, you'll be able to do that. And so we'll be making that that available as well. So we want you to come and be a part of that. Hey, weren't you blessed that God said, let's go to church this morning? Amen. Hey, listen, did you appreciate Miss Shelley's testimony this morning? Amen. Would you give her appreciation? Amen. I'm telling you. I praise God to know that we've got young men and women who have a heart and a passion for the lost. I'm telling you, sometimes we wonder about this younger generation, but I'm telling you, I think the younger generation's wondering about us. And so when I was visiting with Shelley a little earlier, she told me, she said, you know, I've been one of those kind of people that just kind of, I'm not the norm. I kind of shake things up. I said, that's what we need. We need shook up. Amen. We need shook up and shook out, right? And so we need to impact our world for Christ. Thank you, Shelley. Thank you, Renee, for coming and being with us this morning. Okay. Mr. William, you have a word for us this morning?
We're here on behalf of the personnel committee to present some small monetary gifts to our staff in appreciation from our church. Cindy Carroll, our pianist. Lucy Hassel on the organ. Kathy Emerson, our financial assistant. Jeannie McBoy, our administrative assistant.
Back there in the back.
And children's director. Brother Mike, our interim music minister, and Stephen, we learned something today. You know him as Bill, but it says Willie Wright.
I am only Willie when Rhonda is mad at me. But we are grateful. Thank you. It is a real privilege to be a part of Trinity and to be your pastor and to work with this staff and just the opportunity to love and serve you people. We're so grateful again just to be here. Hey, listen, let's stand this morning. Hey, we have much to celebrate. Amen, Mike? We got a lot to celebrate. Let's stand this morning. We're going to be dismissed. We're going to sing the first Noel. Amen.
Right. The chorus. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel.
Thank you.